Welcome to Passion and Purpose, a podcast with Jimmy Seibert and the Antioch Movement. Whether this is your first time with us or you've been with us for a while now, our desire is that by the end of our time together, you can say that you've fallen more in love with Jesus and have a greater passion for Him and His purposes in the earth. Thanks so much for joining us. We hope that you enjoy today's episode.
All right, well, Jimmy, we're back on the pod.
Back on the pod. We're just podding.
Yeah.
Come on.
How was your summer?
It was great summer, man. Yeah. I was literally traveled more this summer than I have in a long, long time. Two trips to Asia. For those who've done that 12-hour time change, still trying to wake up from the journeys, but they were powerful. God's moving all over the world.
And now you're back in Waco for the start of the fall.
Back in my favorite city in the world.
There you go. And we're talking about a topic that's near and dear to your heart, to Laura's heart today as we kick off the fall. What is that?
Yeah, so I'm just pumped about talking about spending time with Jesus, of being alone with God. What does that look like? And you know, for context, you know, Zach, so many times people ask me all kinds of questions. What's God's will for my life? How do I get rid of this sin? How can I have a great relationship? All these different issues. And if I was to get back to the number one thing by 10 miles that is most important is your own ownership of your devotional life, of you experiencing God in such a way that my intimate time with God is the most beautiful, precious, powerful thing that goes on in my day. And Laura and I somehow, by the grace of God, decided that that would be the number one priority in our lives personally, as a couple, and as a family. And so, you know, sometimes people say, well, what did that look like, you know? And I said, man, we would go to extreme lengths. We said, all right, this is going to be the number one issue in our life, that we at least spend an hour alone with Jesus in word worship and prayer and listening to God every day individually. So what we would do is we started figuring out that the big issue was going to bed at night early, right? That was our big deal. So we would say, all right, we're not going to watch late night TV. We're going to go to bed at a certain time, because the number one thing in the morning is to be able to get up to get time with Jesus. And that would eventually evolve into, you know, okay, so what do you need to get alert? So cups of coffee, or, you know, I need to walk and pray the first hour, or when we started having kids, who's going to take care of the baby so that we can get time with Jesus? Now, here's the big deal. When we would go on vacation, we would walk into a hotel room, and the first question would be, where are we going to spend time with Jesus tomorrow morning? Because whatever your most important thing is in your life, you'll find a way to do it everywhere. Great thing about spending time with God, you can do it everywhere, anywhere. Even if you're in prison, chained to a wall, ask the Apostle Paul, by the way, or whether you are on vacation somewhere, your number one priority can always happen when it's word, worship, prayer, and listening to God. So we went to extreme lengths. And then when we had kids, again, we would juggle the kiddos and we taught them how to do it. They would sit by us literally when they were babies while we would spend time with the Lord. We thought, hey, let's have our kids in the presence of God with us. And so we would really just sit one in a little baby chair and sing out loud and pray. And then as soon as they could listen, we'd read the Bible to them, we'd pray. Each of them had their own little devotional packet of kind of how they were spending time with God at the age-appropriate journey. And I say all that to say, after now 36 years, 7 years of faithfully doing that, maybe even a little longer, not only is it still the number one thing in Laura's my life and the number one way we can look back and say, this is what has made us who we are, this is what sustains us where we go, but also now our adult children and their spouses, and they're now training their children to spend time with the Lord, not because mom and dad said so, but because they have seen the benefit and the beauty of it. And man, there's no greater gift we can leave our kids. The greatest inheritance we can leave them is their ability to connect with Jesus in good times and bad times and find Him as sufficient for everything in their life.
Man,
those are my intro thoughts.
There's a lot of a good intro. I would add to that, Jimmy, as someone who has been discipled in your church, been sent out to the nations, and then led a church here in the U.S., that's one of the core values that you have passed on, not just for lived as an individual or passed on to your family, but that's what you've passed on to the church here at Antioch Waco, but also the movement. I would say this is a common denominator, is a value for spending time alone with Jesus. Yeah. Very, very grateful for you investing in us that way. And it's a beautiful thing to see that now play out around the world. So if you were asked to give kind of what's one scripture or one theme that undergirds that value for you, that much of a commitment in your life and Laura's life, what would that be?
Well, you know, early on, I'm just so grateful for these random conversations that sometimes just set the course of our lives. And when I first came to know Jesus, kind of the thing that I understood was, you know, read your Bible, pray, share the gospel, and do good, right? That was kind of the deal. And a buddy pulled me aside. He said, hey, people tell you, they're going to tell you all this stuff you should do. Remember, there's three guys you need to get to know. It's all about getting to know God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's what it's all about. It's relationship with Jesus. So then immediately I began to think, well, then I need to get to know these guys. And that central scripture around that is 2 Corinthians 13:14. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always. This is Paul, last statement to the most carnal church in the New Testament, the most like America or Western culture. And he says, all right, guys, I'm going to summarize all these letters, all these thoughts about all this stuff around these three phrases. Come on, man. It's about the grace of Jesus. It's about the love of the Father. And it's about the communion, the now presence of God. If you'll hone in on that, you're going to be okay. You're going to have the answers to everything you need. So that's been the pursuit of my life, is to say, all right, every day I look at scriptures around Jesus and his grace. Every day I look at scriptures of God Almighty, God the Father. And every day I look and meditate on scriptures about the Holy Spirit so that I can root and ground myself and attach rightly to the God who created me. Because if I can attach rightly, then his divine design and the way that he made me to live, it's possible. But without attachment, it's impossible. And I actually believe that. And so because I believe that, I began to create practices and disciplines and get tools around that to be able to connect rightly with Jesus.
I love it. So the heart of this is not, hey, I need to do this good thing, spend time with the Lord. It is you have really wanted to know the Lord and to build your relationship with him and to live from that place. And the value for spending consistent time in word, worship, and prayer came out of this hunger to know the Lord, to know the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yeah, so the way I said another way is that I didn't get in this to be religious or to prove anything to God or anybody else. I got in this to know God, right? I jokingly say, when I got saved at 17, I needed to be saved.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people grow up in the church and they say, you know, I was saved at 5, you know, and did the baptism thing, and, you know, here I am still trying to figure it out. And I said, no, when I got saved, I needed to be saved and others needed for me to be saved. My life was a mess. And I took salvation as a very real deal. And then when I realized, hey, now I can know the living God of the universe. And then somebody said, here's some quiet time tools, or here's a way you can do that better. It was never legalism to me, because here's the deal. Legalism is when somebody's trying to prove something through their activities to be something. I already knew I was loved by God and it was forgiven by God. I wanted to do it. So it's not legalism if you want to do it. So if somebody said you need to get up at 5 a.m., then I guess that's what we do because we want to get to know Jesus.
Yeah.
Not because I'm trying to prove something to God or anybody else.
Yeah. Let's dig into that. I think the motivations are so important. So I heard you say that when you came to the Lord, there was great need. You experienced that need. And then as you began to grow in the Lord, there was a desire or a hunger. What are some other motivations? Or dig in on those.
Yeah.
What are some other motivations that fuel this value?
So this is going to be fun. And I just want everybody to hang with us here. On I've just listed a few, and I'm sure there are many others. But I remember one day thinking about what motivates me, and what does the Bible say should motivate us to see God? Okay, so here we go. First one, love of God. All right. Song of Solomon, set me like a seal over your heart. Love is as strong as death. And the admonition is, look, just as the Father's loved me, Jesus said, I have loved you. So the love of God is what sustains us, what captures us. It is God's desire and design that in the end, that's where we land. And so I could talk a lot about that, but I realized every day I don't feel like loving God, or I don't feel loved by God. So what do I do when I don't wake up with a feeling of love or thinking that love's the central theme that I need right now? What's another motivation from Scripture? So here's a, if love's the first one, another one is reward. He rewards those who seek him. Before a great scripture, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Wow. So on the days I don't feel loved or actually feel like loving anybody, I still seek God because he is, and he rewards those who diligently seek him. Sometimes I see the reward in an attitude or a grace or you know, the ability to pray into something. Sometimes I don't feel anything, but what I've tried is the other. When I don't spend time with God, there is no presence of God. And so the reward at the very least is to establish me in God's grace and get covered and protected for the day. So of course there's eternal rewards and we could go on and on, but when I don't feel the love motivation, I choose the reward motivation. So here's the third one, is dependence. Jesus said, if you abide in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay, so I'm not motivated by love today. Reward doesn't seem that interesting to me today, but what about my dependence on God? I need God to actually be fruitful in any area of my life. And I actually believe that. Yeah. So on days that I don't feel the love, days I don't care about the reward, hey, it's okay to just out of my sheer dependence and need for God, I go ahead and seek God anyway. All right, here's the fourth one, power and freedom in my life, okay? One of the things I say this is people need you to seek God and you need to seek God because the freedom that you're longing for and or the freedom maybe victory you had will only be sustained by the present tense of God in your life. So man, especially if you have any kind of addictive behavior, which everybody's had something or another, is you fall right back into the pit if you don't let Jesus rule and reign, not just in the moment, but continually in that area. So to stay free from sin that will be hurtful to myself, others, or my family, I seek God on a daily basis. All right. We doing good?
Doing great.
All right. Got a few more. So I seek God because of the fear of the Lord. Mm. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And here's what I tell parents who want to be best friends with their kids. You can't be best friends with your kids unless they respect you for the position that God's given you. What I mean by that is we had high discipline, high structure, and high love and encouragement. But the kids' ability to respect our voice and our counsel was for their safety.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So every kid wants to run into the street when there's cars because it looks interesting. I know you run into the street, cars aren't going to see you, you're going to die. So when I would say to my kids, stop, if they didn't listen to my voice, we went through a discipline process until they did trust my voice because I was able to protect what they didn't see. Does that make sense? So the fear of the Lord is that belief that God is in control and his voice and his design and his rule and reign is made for my good and my safety. And I fear being outside of his covering and away from his voice and leadership because I know I'll self-destruct and hurt myself or somebody else. So the fear of the Lord is another motivation to seek God. All right, couple more. I seek God on a daily basis because, as I said earlier, others need me to seek God. John 17:19, Jesus said this, I sanctify myself for their sakes. Paul said, death works in us, but life works in you. He even said, my trials, I'm so glad I went through a bunch of trials because now I can comfort you in the trials that I received. So there is this otherness and that motivates me to see God. So when I was a new husband, Laura needs me to see God, right? I need to be praying over her, caring for her. When we had kids, oh my goodness, if anybody needs to be praying every day, it's my kid needs me to be praying and seeking God every day. And then, of course, my responsibilities as a pastor, a leader, a friend, a brother, a community contributor, as I seek God and pray into everything I'm involved in, everybody gets a chance to flourish and be blessed. And when I don't, I'm not able to bring Jesus into the scene. And when you don't bring Jesus in the scene, chaos rules and reigns. All right, now, I know maybe some of you are just listening along and saying, okay, yeah, I really want you to hear this, is that remember the definition of the kingdom, wherever the king is, there is the kingdom. There's the rule and reign of God. Wherever the king is not, there is chaos. All right? So take that into my own life. When the king is ruling and reigning in my life, there is right order, right design, right blessing, joy, help, and hope. When the king is not ruling and reigning in my life and my flesh is ruling and reigning, there is chaos, disorder, every evil thing, destruction. And I actually believe that. So out of my desire to love others as I love myself, then I see God. Okay? All right. Well, last one. This one's going to be really profound. You ready? I mean, this big time.
I'm ready.
All right. It works.
Wow.
That's why I pray. I see God because it works. And if I don't, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Right? I was with this guy who was leading the World Prayer Center in Colorado Springs for like the whole world, right? And I was speaking at a conference, and he was one of the other speakers. And so they picked us up in the in this van at the airport. And we're driving, and I think, man, I've got the world prayer guy. I mean, this is it, man. And I said, well, hey, world prayer guy, why do you pray? Why do you pray? He said, you're not going to like my answer. And I said, if it just tell me, I want to know. He said, I pray because it works. And when I don't pray, it doesn't work. I said, so like you're the world prayer guy and you're not telling me for the love of God, for the glory of God, for the nations of God. He said, oh yeah, no, all that's in there. But he said, in the end, I'm a pragmatist and I want to do something that changes the world. So I pray because God changes the world through prayer. Therefore it works. And when I don't pray, it doesn't work. So, and I said, well, do you have anything else? He said, no, that's what I have.
Ah,
that was it. So I thought, okay, I'm going to pray every day.
Yeah.
I'm going to see God every day because it works.
I like it. So we're talking motivations of love, reward, dependence, power and freedom, fear of the Lord for others. And it just
works.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. That's awesome. So people love morning routines. Like I watched a YouTube video yesterday of some athlete of his morning routine. So take us in, Jimmy. Let's get practical here for a moment.
As a fellow athlete,
yeah. Hey, give me, walk us through getting practical. So I'm stirred. Take me into your morning routine. Give us a little bit on what does it look like for you in this season of your life?
Yeah.
To spend time with the Lord.
Yeah. So this season of my life, and I want to pause and say there are different seasons, and you adapt your devotional life around that.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So a very normal morning would be get up at 5 a.m. and start praying in the Spirit. There's a like worship songs going on in my head and background while I make my coffee. No need to waste time. Just get into it, right? Uh-huh. And so I've got worship songs going on, making my coffee, trying to get everything going. And then I start on a walk. And I probably walk for an hour. And I pull up scriptures on my phone. Who is God the Father? Who's God Almighty? And I read the scripture and I worship him. And then I pause and say, Father, what would you say today? And I listen. And then I look at Jesus, some beautiful expression of Jesus. And again, I can walk and do this, right? The great thing today is I got my phone and I'm looking at a scripture of Jesus, meditating on it. And then I say, Jesus, what would you say to me today? Isn't that beautiful?
It is beautiful.
I learned that from a guy named Frank Laubach, by the way, an old sage from the past. And then I do the Holy Spirit. Look at the Holy Spirit. There's many things that he wants to tell me today. Holy Spirit, what do I need to know?
Right.
And I listen. And here's another one that somebody taught me is when you're listening to the Father, it's okay to speak out what you hear. Like, so if God says, I love you, son, I'm with you. I may speak out, I love you, son, I'm with you. To just get all of my senses engaged in God.
Yeah.
So I do Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then I'm already in it, right?
Yeah.
I'm in the throne room. I'm God speaking. I'm loving him. He's loving me. And then I'll begin to pray.
Mm-hmm.
So for me right now, that would be the Lord's Prayer, right? I've already done our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. We just did that. Now your kingdom come, your will be done. God rule and reign. I have systematic things that I pray for, of course, my family, our elders, that I systematically pray through all of our missionaries, leaders, friends. And there's always key projects that I'm praying through. Now, some of this, of course, I've pre-looked at. I don't have to carry it around because I have these rhythms down. But I pray through the Lord's Prayer, set up my day, and then I come in. And right now, I'm doing this read through the Bible in a year, but through a devotional called Live Dead Joy, which, I mean, it's the best.
Yeah.
It's the best, written from this missionary who worked among Muslims. And he always has a little commentary on the scripture, but I'm reading through the Bible in a year, and then it's praying for an unengaged, underage people group at the end. And then I pull up my laptop, I wait, listen to God, and just journal what I feel like he's speaking.
Well, Jimmy, this is awesome just getting to hear through your morning routine. And I love hearing you say, like, this is your season now, but you and Laura and our community have sought to spend time with the Lord over the last 30, 35 years. And those tools that you mentioned now, plus other ones that have been developed or received or we've put together, put it together in a little book that's coming out. So why don't you tell us about that book?
Hey, we've got, for those that are on video, it's called Alone with God. And this is just, as one friend says, a treasure trove of 35 years of tools around each of those key areas of our devotional life. We say word, worship, prayer, and listening. There are tools in here. There are fill-in-the-blank stuff. It is amazing. But what the key that I want to say is this. What I did through the years is I would take a tool and I would literally let it disciple me. So I would take a month on a tool on prayer or a tool on worship or word. And I just said, you know what? Rather than me be original in the beginning, why don't I learn from those who've gone before us? And that's all we did was a collection of that and try it out, work it through. So what I know about everybody listening right now is you want to know God and you want to spend time with him and you want that meaningful connect with him. Hey, take this book, do it with us. And let's go on this journey together so that we're rooted and grounded in the height, the width, the breadth, the depth, and love of God. And when I say the grace of Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to say hallelujah because you know him.
Hallelujah.
When I say the love of God and Father, you're going to want to be embraced by him. And when I say the Holy Spirit's real, you're going to start ministering in the power of the Spirit because you've been alone with God.
So good. So we're going to spend some more time talking about devotional life on the podcast because this is our number one value. And if you want the Alone with God resource book, you can look in the show notes where you're watching or listening to this, and there'll be instructions on how you can get one of these things of beauty in your hand. We're excited to go on this journey with you guys.
Love you guys.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of Passion and Purpose, a podcast with Jimmy Seibert and the Antioch Movement. For more information, please visit jimmyseibert.com and antioch.org. We'll see you next time.